Bracken Fences by Wolf Curtaloo. Chapter 10, Horde Choices, Continued. Raggle was expected the next day. It was something to do with a surprise Tad had minted at, so Shen put nae questions. Raggle didn't arrive by the time Obadiah had went to their beds, but Shen kent he wouldn't wait a minute longer nor he needed till when Beatrice was at the inner end of his journey. Shen got up when Beatrice was sleeping and sat by the embers of the cooking fire, watching for the hunter to come home. He dove at hour and wakened when he saw Raggle making his descent. He gaed to meet him. They steered up the fire and made tea. Then Shen telt Raggle he needed to speak to him and tane him off among the trees, out of earshot of the caves. "Weel, Raggle," he said, "nae woman in bairns o' thy ain. Ach, there's time yet." Shen gied a wee lock through his nose. "Maybe thou hasna disentangled the hurt from my wife's yet." Raggle looked up and under his massive bruise. "Who doesna expect me to answer that question?" "It could easy been thee," Shen telt him. Raggle shook his head. But then he looked. "I'll admit there was times when I thought I had her, but I was feared to shoot and miss." He shrugged. "I waited hour lang. She chose thee, and I'm happy for you." "What if I should dee, Raggaran?" Raggle frowned. "Onybody can dee. We're only ever ye breath away for deeth, Shen. But thou's hardly 40. What for does thou speak about deeing? Is thou seek?" "No, exactly. Raggle, I went to tell thee this in strictest secrecy. Nae other body has to ken, and especially no Beatrice. But it's my een, Raggle." "Thy een? But thou canna see you anyway." "Do you mind, Raggle?" "No, thou wouldna mind, thou was just a bit fower." Aye, I do mind. They pisoned thee. But it was necessary, it was a good thing for thee." He paused. "See, there's a price." Shen nodded slowly. "I found out when we were up north. The stuff my sisters gied me is a kind of raw rosette. They grow it there on plantations. Convict labour. They ging blin after about 10 year. Then the Chinese let them louse. They're wandering beggars wi' een like mine." He opened them. "Or the Tian Shan. Een them when mak it hem to their friends and is weel ta'en care o'. They dinna leave a yonther mid-40s, Raggle. The liver packs in. It's a death sentence." "Thou hast to tell her." "No, when it hits it'll be quick. There's nae need for it to cast a backward shadow o'er the neist buckle year, however lang I've got." "Shen, what for is thou telling me this?" Shen put his horns to his head. "Raggle," he said at last, "we grew up together. We're like brothers, are we no?" Raggle put a horn in his shoulder and drew him into his bosie. "We are brothers." Beatrice wakened when Shen came back in. "What time is it?" she speared. "It's no dawn yet," he said, "but I was watching for Raggle coming back." "Oh, is he back?" "Aye," said Shen. "It's naething to him to come doon into the strath benicht. I telt him to wait for ye at the foot of the steps." "For me? What for?" She sat up. "Is something wrang?" "No, no." He sat down on the edge of the bed aside her and put an arm round her. "Do get busket and ging to welcome him," he telt her. "Let him meet thee again first, thy lane. He deserves that." "Shen, away you go," he said. "I ken you're hurt. I think I can trust you wi' Raggle. But at the same time," he played with a strand o' her hair, "would you no like to meet your old leman by minlicht?" She shook her head slowly. "Nobody has ony secrets for you, do they?" "Walking lie detector," he agreed, and lay back on the bed with his arms ahint his head. She flung on some clays, then changed her mind and dug out the old embroidered tunic, as if wearing that would reverse the years. Shen was sleeping, or pretending to sleep, when she gaed out. The Fu Min had risen through a cliff to the mountains, and its licht washed the strath, silver in the bonny trees. She was grateful to Shen for sending her out. It was a magical night. A pair of magnolias framed the last couple of sty steps, gaining something to hold on to. As she reached the last step, Raggle was standing in front of her, silently offering his horn. She saw him differently now. He lived, he breathed, and he was nobody's fool. She tane his horn cautiously, as something rather mair risky nor stepping doon a foot or twa in the dark. It brought her close eneugh to feel his animal warmth. She was on the path, and they drap at horns, but their een had met, and they gaed on stonin' close together, facing ither, hardly breathing. The least movement knew, or sign of speech, would either push them together or propel them apart. Beatrice was suspended between the two impulses. It was Raggle who brak the spell. "I was waiting on thee," he said, his voice rough. She breathed him in. He was a man full of fashion and smedum. She thought of the Chinese saying, "A woman hour 30 is like a yeast tea leaf. A man hour 30 is like a rose in full bloom." She was suddenly conscious that she'd lost 2 teeth. Fawn back for him, she ta'en a deep breath and swallowed. She didn't trust herself to speak, so she moved toward a bink and gestured him to sit aside her. He ta'en off his coat and happed at Runer's shoulders. He kept his arm there, a Runer. That felt good. It seemed to earth the electric current that had passed for a second between them. She was quiet for a while, shocked at herself. If he had went for to tack her in his arms, she was fairly sure she would have stopped him, but for the wrong reasons. It was the awareness of her bad teeth and the scars of childbirth that had held her back, she accused herself, not only rectitude. "We're good friends, are we no?" he said eventually, squeezing her. "Ah, Raggle," she said, raxing up and hodding the horn that lay in her shoulder. "Braw Raggle, that seemed no to see nae change in her, but I looked at her as gin she was the bonniest lass in the world." They sat silent under the moon, while straking ilk other's horns, till they heard folks starting to move about. Then Raggle patted her arm and ta'en her back to the steps. He put his horns in her waist and hoisted her up. She looked back at him. He didn't seem to feel he was doing onything out of the ordinary, and it felt right to her and all to accept that Raggle's devotion was a fact of her life. When Beatrice came down in the morning with Shen and Wren, folk was gathered and the fire was blazing. Raggle was already there. He was stoning with ye fit on a bink, leaning over a sated woman, speaking to her. "He's lost his shyness," Beatrice thought. "There's something commanding about Raggle nowadays." He turned round and saw Beatrice and Shen, and the familiar smile lit up his face. It was as gin the silent meeting under the men had been a dwam, and this was their actual reunion. He flung his arms round them both and ta'en them away to meet the woman, hushing a couple of other folk awa'. The woman looked Tibetan, and her tap jacket was in Tibetan style, but under that, Beatrice gasped as the woman stood up. The clothes she was wearing was modern, artificial fibre, all-weather gear. Bill came up beside Beatrice. "By all the saints," he said. He gaed up to the woman and felt her clothes at the neck, under her jacket, then looked up at her face in wonderment. Beatrice saw through the woman had to make an effort not to fidget wall for the invasion of her space, and minded that that would have been her own reaction, a puckle year sign. "You must be William Henderson," the woman speared in English and held out her horn. Bill shook it vigorously. The woman turned to Beatrice. "And you're Beatrice?" She didn't speak like Beatrice was a stranger to her. "Yes, but I don't think I know you." "Beatrice," said Raggle, putting an arm round ilk ane of the women. "Here's a strange thing. We've decided that wrong ye here stands in relation to thee as an auntie, but it seems you've never met either." Beatrice acknowledged this, but gaed on in English. "I think there must have been some misunderstanding. You're Tibetan, aren't you?" "Yes," said Rongi. "I'll explain, but it will take a while. Will we get tea?" "Yes, yes, of course," said Beatrice. Somebody had started on in out cops by the fire. "By the way," she said, "this is my husband, Shen." Rongi shook his horn. "I have a child somewhere," said Beatrice, "but I think he's found company more interesting than his parents." "Tad's gotten him," Shen told her in Chinese, realising that she was looking around for Wren. "I'm sorry," said Rongi. "I'm afraid I don't speak much Chinese, and I've only learned a little of the old language." She looked around, seeming lost among their wild folk. Beatrice put a horn gently on her arm. "How long have you been waiting for us?" she speared. "And are you alone? How did you find us?" "You have come from the RW, haven't you?" Bill speared. "You've come to take us back." "Yes," she said. "I spent the winter in a nunnery north of here. Before that, it took me 2 years to walk from Lhasa." "What?" Bill gasped. "That's a hell of a walk. And you're some relation to Beatrice?" "You've come all that way for us," Beatrice exclaimed. She turned to Shen and told him what Rongi had said. "I think you three need to speak," he said. "Come on, Raggle, we're on the road." He made a deep bow to Rongi and ta'en Raggle to meet Wren. "Start at the beginning," suggested Beatrice as the three of them sat down together on a bink, Rongi in the middle. "How do you know me? Do you know my grandfather? Is he all right?" "Yes," Rongi smiled at the mention of the Pandit. He came as far as Lhasa with me and he's waiting for you there. It's very strange because, you know, you've never heard of me, but I feel I know you. I've lived in your grandfather's house since I was a child, but I think he felt a bit uncomfortable that he was somehow putting me in your place. Whenever you came to Delhi, I was packed off to Kalimpong. Whenever you came to Kalimpong, I was packed off to Delhi. Goodness, said Beatrice. So that was who her things had gotten worn out and her playocks broken. Her grandfather had been guy generous to the money Tibetan refugees in Delhi, of course, but she'd had nae idea. She looked at Rongye, suddenly recognising her. I met you once, she exclaimed. I think it must have been you. You came to get breakfast at Dada's compound. Your mother told me, always gather merit. Yes, said Rongye, pleased and surprised. I didn't think you'd remember. Then her smile faded and she looked uncomfortable again. Beatrice, I have to tell you something. I think I have to tell you this right away. What is it? There's nothing wrong, is there? Nothing that can't be mended, but I feel like a thief. Please, Rongye, take your time. What is it that you have to tell me? We thought you were dead, both of you. She looked from Beatrice to Bill. That was a fair enough assumption, Bill assured her. If I get home and find somebody's got my flat and my graphic novel collection, I'm sure as hell not going to grudge them. What if they've got your identity? Rongye asked. Ah, said Bill, so that's the problem. You've got Beatrice's identity, right? Rongye nodded. Well, said Bill, two objects can't occupy the same space at the same time. You'll have to go back to your own identity, I guess. But you're an illegal, Beatrice said. Yes, you must understand what a temptation it was. Beatrice tamed the other woman's horns. You've walked over the roof of the world. It's taken you more than 2 years. Lord knows how you did it, knowing that it would cost you your chance of a legal identity. She clasped Rongye's horns. I swear I'll make sure you don't lose out by this, Beatrice told her. Everything I have is yours. I'll start out afresh. I'm not going to take anything back except my papers. No, no, Rongye protested. Nothing has been touched. Your bank account, nothing's been touched. You girls can sort all that out another time, Bill said. But listen, Rongye, will it take us 2 years to get back? Well, with more mouths to feed, Rongye hesitated. It might take longer. Well, said Bill, it'll just take as long as it takes. But I hope we won't be too much of a liability to you, Rongye. We've earned our keep all the way to the Tarim and back. He grinned. And what we found out there is going to make all these people very happy. He waved the horn, tacking in the fowker in the fire where breakfast was cooking, the others hanging around in the tent, and the bairns running about. They were mostly old people, but there was a handful of Uyghurs as well, and even a couple of Tibetan women. We were just waiting for Raggle to come back before we told them the news. He grinned at Beatrice. Do you think this is a good time? Yes, I suppose so. Are you all right? Bill speared her. Yeah, I'm just a bit thrown by it all. I thought I'd be going home with them. But now I suppose I'm going home with Dada. Bill, will you wait until I've talked to Shen? Yes, of course, sweetheart, I should have thought of that, but I'm sure he won't stand in your way. He's an educated man, as far as hanging around lamasseries can get you, and he'll see this is best for Ren. She nodded and gave to find Shen. Ren was playing with the other bairns. She made sicker as she passed that the older yins was looking after the wee yins and no gone hour near the fire. She found Shen deep in conversation with Raggle. They both turned when they heard her coming, and she saw the ill question on both their faces. Raggle spake first. Shen's told me about the music, he said. You'll all come home with us, will you know? She looked away, unable to face the urgency in his een. Raggle and me's been speaking, Shen said, putting a horn in his arm, about what our ancestors expects. Ideally, a man should ging home to his woman's folk, but the old people should stick together, Raggle said, and find the way back to where we come from. I'm ane of the old people, Shen said. He stood up and turned her face in his horn. For a minute her awareness narrowed to his physical presence. His hair was grey-flecked, but he was aye black-bearded. She contemplated his weather-beaten, apologetic, beloved face. And thou is an owl. And Ren, Raggle added. Ren is the main thing, she said. We hae to decide what's best for him. She heard Raggle grind his teeth. Shen nodded slowly. I'm thinking it's doing to thee, he said. I'm thinking thou's the only buddy that's in a position to judge. He pit yin air run her shuther and the tither her run Raggles, and they gate to Jane Bill. Raggle advised him that the right thing to do was to tell their leader first. See, what would that be now that Fallad's away? Fallad was never leader, Raggle told him. He was just a big man. Whale's muscles is the answer, you look, but no usually. He pointed out an old woman washing a baby by the fire. Mergoli is the brains. Bill looked at Beatrice. He seemed doubtful. She nodded encouragingly, so he gave to speak to the old lady. To Bill's evident horror, the woman let out a resounding ululation when he gave her the news and handed him the babby, who was howling now. Mergoli half gollert, half sang, "We're gone hem," and sin all the old people in the clachan was singing in fur-peart harmony, "We're gone hem." Beatrice and Bill and Ian Rongay was pulled into a circle of folk dancing round the fire, bairns on their shouthers. They gaed on for half an hour or mair and would likely have went on langer, but the bairns was pooing hair and demanding their breakfasts. Maist folk was ready for to drap off and then gang richt away. Mergoli calmed them doon a bit and minded them that there were folk belonging to them that had to be gathered in, hunters out in the mountains and further off, folk like Iskander that had crowd up with them, and others that was with the wanderers, you know. And they had to be certain sure that there was nobody in captivity with the Chinese. Some messengers were sent out richt off, but when it came to contacting the wanderers, there was, it seemed, grey areas. Arguments brak out, or wha should and wha shouldna be invited to come with them. Camille seemed to be a particular problem, their chief ally, but she'd never lived among them. But there was others that they valued less, that had been allowed to leave in the strath, and would expect to come with them. Beatrice could see some of the Uyghurs getting feiky. The arguments gied on all day, but the next morning, Mergoli settled them with Fiat. After breakfast, she cried obody to sit round her, and list at them that could gang hame with the old people. Them that had come among them as bairns, them that had a blood link to them, them that had a blood link to somebody that had come among them as a bairn. At this, Raggle put his arm round Beatrice, and she felt his horn grip her shoulder painfully hard. And Camille, nae other buddy. The lave was welcome to bide on in the clachan and continue to leave there. Raggle suddenly realised that he was hurting Beatrice and let her gang. Then he rubbed the place gently with his thumb. Tired after a sleepless night of worrying what to do, she leant back again his arm and let him support her. Till she saw that Rongier was looking at her in surprise, she sat upright and looked at a room for Shen. He was juggling Wren up and doing a puckle yards away. Then she felt Raggle tense and folied his een. A handful young men was snittering and scancing toward them. She mentally kicked herself. Who could she have been that thoughtless? There was just something safe about Raggle, but I was had been. It was 3 days afore Beatrice made a decision, and when she did, it was what Raggle maist feared. For Wren's sake, she thought she and Shen had to cross the border. Raggle felt as Guinea was being ripped apart. He turned to Wafir without speaking and walked off his lane among the trees. None of his ancestors could show him a way to turn. All agreed that the old bitch was offering him often he'd ever winter in his life, but with half in each horn, and he had to choose which horn. He marched to the end of the strath, 5 miles away, and back, without any resolution. His ancestors had started to tack sides, and they were deaving him with arguments. He'd made a promise to Shen, but gin Beatrice gave back to her ain folk, that changed often. The need was nae langer there. Shen wouldna haud him tilt. He could gang hame to the life a man should lead, running free under a warm sun, swimming in rivers, sleeping on foggy banks and forest edges, falling in herds of magnificent beasts into empty, unkent lands. But he was spoilt for ony other woman, and knew that Beatrice had come back, he'd let nobody see that, gin they'd ever doubted it. He grimed and tore at his hair. He needed physical exertion to quake the turmoil in his head, at least for a while. He seized a pickaxe and gaed after the head of the strath to widen the fit hods in the way in and out. He swung the axe till his arms was dirling. When he ta'en a rest, he discovered that there was four young men ablow, watching him and locking. He calmed down onto the level ground and leant on the pickaxe, waiting for one of them to make a move. "If the wind's to tack it out on somebody," one of them said, "Gear here is ready for thee." Raggle looked at the man up and down. It was a fairly even match. Gear was young and jimp, but he, Raggle, had the advantage of Book. There was a real risk that he would get carried away and beat the younger man to a pulp. "I'm no interested in fechting thee," Raggle told him. "I'm content to tack orders with Mergoli I'll follow you, woman. His challenger looked coarsely. We all ken what woman we follies, Raggle. Another man's woman. Raggle felt anger rise at that. He put the pickaxe out of his shoulder and stared it back to the clachan. He followed him, kenning exactly who to rile him, what his weak spot was. Shen, Shen, come quick. What is Derry? It's Raggle, they're trying for to get him to fecht again. Bide here, he told her. She shouldn't be running a ruin where Babby's seen near coming. Keep Beatrice away. He ran down the path, tracking the risk that it would be clear of unseen obstacles. This was his hame grun. A crowd of men had gathered. They were kittled up, egging on Raggle and the other man, Gear. Shen saw that he had arrived just in time. Raggle's posture and the activity of his arms had contracted into aggression. Gear was taunting him. They couldna get the woman they wanted, and knew the follies there a ruin hoping to get close enough to get a smell of her. Shen pushed his way to the front of the crowd and stepped in front of Raggle. He confronted Gear. Is it Raggaran that's went into fecht, or is it Shen? He demanded. I dunno went to fecht a blind man. He flared contemptuously. Weel then, Shen told him. Lee my woman out of it. He looked round the circle of men. I am blind, he said, and though the Chinese has burdened me with other senses, am I less nor a hale man. I consider Raggle my brother. See, if he follies my woman, he does it with my knowledge. He paused. There's no muckle that goes on without my knowledge. He looked from one to another. Does only other buddy he ought to say about this? He demanded. He could see the red heat of embarrassment on ilka face but Gears, who was just stymied of his chance to measure himself by Raggle. The crowd brak up and Raggle sat down on the edge of the path. I'm sorry they had to do though, Shen, he said. It wasn't the right way for it to come out. Dinna worry about it. My ancestors is all right about it, he lead. What's Gear got again the only way? Fallad, Raggle shrugged. Because he deed sudden-like, it cheated the young blids of the chance to challenge him. Now they all seem to think I'm the man they hate to beat. Can they no just tell them there's no like, though? They thinks I hinna tried, but the ken, Shen, this thing, it's a thing of the body, no the hurt. He held up his arm and flexed his biceps. Feel that, he said. Shen sat down beside him and did as instructed. He exclaimed, what are they feeding thee on? Flattery, Raggle telt him. Flattery does that to a man. There always has to be ye big man, Raggle said. It wasna just valid. Afore him there was some other buddy, and after him there be some other buddy. Lucky for Tad, he's our auld noo. See, a handful of chiels hangs around me, and I canna help but be pleased. Some way the pleasure that I feel is turned into muscle. What can they do? Raggle sighed. What I've always done. Keep out the way. Then he smiled. Never mind. We'll tack Beatrice to her grandfather, and by the time we've persuaded her to come hem, the old bitch will have found her champion and will no bother me nae mair. Shen nodded doubtfully, and they gave back to the clachan. Once the decision to gang back to the RW was made, Bill was fikey for to start. Raggle's offer to come with him to the border made it soon a hale lot easier. They would be self-sufficient in mate as long as there was oaked for Raggle to hunt. The four of them sat down in a hand-drawn map. Wrong gay sketched in the Xinjiang highway. That seemed a long way round to Bill. We're much nearer the border in the east, he pinted out. What had been the east to Tibet, with the headwaters of China's major rivers, was I inside the RW. You can only get in if you have help on the RW side, Rongier said, and that bit of border, she waved a hand southeastward. Have you ever heard of anybody being posted onto that stretch? No, Bill admitted. That's because it's so inhospitable it can't be patrolled on foot. They police it with automated drones. Anything that comes within 10 miles of the watershed, zap. They would rather do it that way in the Himalayas as well, but they know there would be too many casualties. No, it has to be the border south of Lhasa. And the only road from here to Lhasa, within the excluded part of the country, is in the west. She paused. You never had a chance of getting into Nil Yul Gun, she told him. He met Irene, alluding that she was in charge. One possible route, she said, is to stay south of the Kunlun Shan and head west across the plateau to join the road. But Beatrice and I have talked about it, and she doesn't think she could do it, far less the little boy. So really, our only chance is the long way round. We'll have to cross the mountains again, but when we recross in the west, it will at least be on a road. Still, we'll have to go a long way west to pick it up. It's going to take us forever, said Bill, discouraged. Let's steal a lorry, suggested Raggle. Beatrice looked at Ron Gay, expecting her to be shocked, and maybe she was for a second, but then she nodded slowly. They did tell me you was brigandiers, she said. Bill had a particular reason for wanting to leave Richterwall. Beatrice, he said, sitting down beside her as the evening meal was passed around the fire, do you think we could get away before Daddy has her baby, all that bringing forth children and sorrow stuff? I can't handle it. Oh, come on, Bill, you can't expect Raggle to leave before his sister has her baby. Oh, I suppose not. So Bill had to consent herself and wait while nature turned her course and the spring turned into summer. By the time Derry got into labour, 2 months after Beatrice's arrival in the Strath, Beatrice had established her medical credentials, though the old people chose to believe that she'd learnt off and she kent fae Guzzle. She accepted this. There was nae grave nor monument to Guzzle, but the old people honoured their memories like a photograph album, passing the names of their loved ones backward and forward, especially when they were away or had died. So Beatrice was ready when she was cried on in the middle of the night to help the howdy. It was a second bairn, and Derry Akin was muckle bookit, so the birth gaed quick, but as soon as the babby girl was delivered, Beatrice kent that something was wrang. It was licked by then, and she could see that the babby was yellow. The howdy had trouble getting it to breathe, and it made nae soon, and it didn't look richt. It was ugly e'en by Neanderthal standards, and the heat was ower muckle. It looked like a trow. Derry, said the howdy, is thou wanting to gie it the chance to suckle? It's up to thee, but I wouldnae. Beatrice gasped. What was the woman proposing to do with the babby? But in ony case, Derry tane it and tried to get it to tack the breast. After repeated attempts, she honed it back and shook her head. It's nae but a husk, she said. There's nae an ancestor there. She lay back for folkin and shut her een. What would Guzzle hae done? Beatrice wondered. She can't find that Guzzle had been far mair ruthless nor this less experienced woman, who after all had achieved naething but distress in the mither, and the feyther can he ever find out. I've become very hard, she thought. Thou's gotten realistic, she imagined Guzzle telling her. The howdy hap at the babby in a shawl. She didn't bother to swaddle it, Beatrice noted. Beatrice put her hands ahint her back and clasped them tight together. Whatever was about to happen here wasn't her responsibility. The howdy sent her out to make sure that Sultram was nowhere near. There was just women couldn't her in the entrance. In the distance she could see the men. Likely they were making Sultram wait till he was cried on. The women went it to ken if the babby was all right, and was it a lad or a lass. She swallowed. It winna leave, she said. It didn't a sook. There was no one sooks and nods. But Dan Rongier clocked her by the arm. What do you mean it didn't a sook? She demanded. You could easily mak some kind of teat. You'll have to try feeding it from a bottle. Beatrice shook her head. The baby's not right. It would be mentally defective, Rongier. This is a simple society. They can't carry that sort of burden. It was born alive, wasn't it? Rongier said. You're an educated woman. You can't let them commit infanticide. Beatrice shook herself free. Yes, she said, though tears filled her een. If a mother can, I can. She gaed back inside, and the babby was already steed, smothered, she supposed. Derry had put a quilt over her head. The howdy shrewd at the babby and put the wee corp into her bag. As far as the men's concerned, she said, it was born deed. She shook Derry's shoulder. Did they hear that, Derry, my bairn? A muffled eye came from under the quilt. Will I send Sultram? Beatrice speared. Another muffled eye. The howdy hefted the bag and walked away up the strath. It was left to Beatrice to tell him. What did I do wrang? He speared her as she walked back with him. Beatrice, was it wrang for me to tack Derry? Is it wrang to tack an old woman? Oh, Sultram, what for does thou say that? She's just a woman, and thou's a man. Then what, he speared, was Bill feared for? Who did he ken? What could she say? Bill was feared to responsibility. Bill was feared of being cut off for civilization. Bill was feared of being at the mercy of nature. Bill was feared of women, for God's sake. Bill didna ken, and he doesna ken yet. He suspected there was some problem about Mel and the populations. Sultram put his horn to his head. Abody telt me to had a war for an old woman, but I wouldna listen. Sultram, Beatrice reminded him, though his ye perfect bairn, many folk ne'er has e'en the ain. What was wrong ye gollorn about? He demanded at neist. What did she want you to do that you was na doing? She was being unfair. She blamed was for no delivering the babby quicker, Beatrice Lead. She's never had a babby. She kens naething about it. She left him with Derriac and looked around for Rongier. She had to make sure that she got her story strocked. Rongier was red-faced about the scene she'd made, but obviously I upset. There was hot water in the fire, so Beatrice made tea for herself and Rongier. She tained some to Derriac and Saltram. When she got back, the howdy was there, and Rongier was quizzing her about the condition of the babby when it was born. Other women giant them, and Rongier turned to Beatrice and told her, "This is bad. I think I know what this is." "What do you think it is, Rongier?" "Rhesus negative, mother," said Rongier. "It's a European gene. Some of our Tibetan refugees have got papers, have married European women, and one was Rh negative. In the RW, it's not a big deal, but you have to know. You have to know in advance of the second pregnancy." "Just the second?" Beatrice speared. "Yes, the first baby is the trigger. Then the mother's body produces antibodies and they attack the fetus." "Oh," she grinned. "So they can't have any more?" "Absolutely not. It would get worse each time." She paused. "If that's what it is. Oh dear, what can we do? Can we take a blood sample back with us?" "They'll be gone," said Beatrice. "They'll be gone long before we could get a message back." She stood up. "I have to talk to Bill," she said. She found him splitting kennelers. He hadn't heard yet. She told him to sit down, and he did, on the hacking block. "I could have warned her," he said when she told him. "Beatrice, I could have told her. I spent hours upon hours with her driving that truck, talking about every bloody thing under the sun, and I thought she was being frank with me. She certainly didn't mince her words. If the old people have children with moderns, the offspring lose the ability to hear their ancestors. That's really important to them. I wouldn't have expected a tide of adolescent hormones to breach that levee so easily." "Bill, give yourself a break. How could you have told her? You didn't know." I knew, he said, beating an agitated emphasis in the air with his horn. "I just didn't understand the significance of what I knew. I even told you," he went on. "I told you that the Rh neg blood type is a European characteristic, so it's one of the things you'd immediately look for in the Neanderthals." "But it didn't mean anything to me either," she said sadly. "I've never known anybody personally who had these problems." Bill put his head in his horns and grinned. Beatrice bit her arm around him. After a while he leant back and said, "You and I, B, we can see the population genetics here, can't we? Something made those people die out. Nobody could say they're mentally inferior, far less physically inferior. Give them a level playing field and access to the other guy's technology. No, there was something inescapable working against them, something against which strength and intelligence and grit and love of life were helpless." "History doesn't have to repeat itself," she said, but she kent she was leaning. A handful of old people gone back couldn't stop the twa populations colliding along the hale advance in front to Homo sapiens. "Rh positive is dominant," Bill told her, his rational exposition belied by the agony of concern in his voice. "Mixed children might as well be modern. They're all Trojan horses. Derry's son, Trojan horse. Every mixed male carries bad blood, just as much as if he was an Rh-positive homozygote." "Foo careful," like Beatrice thought. He was avoiding the word hybrid. At ye time he would have bandied it about without a thought. "He doesn't want to think it. Only ye species can be human. It's a monotheism thing. There can only be ye planet that the sin and men revolves around. Only ye folk chosen by God to receive his revelations. But it's a species barrier, all right, and it's a border that canna be sealed." She wondered who they would have honelled it back hame in the RW. Eugenics was aye a guy's sair pint. The richt to choose your ain marriage partner, especially the woman's richt, was yen of their vaunted freedoms in contrast to the FZ. Nonetheless, the eugenics law was designed to discourage folk nae twae wise about it, for haeing bairns wi' expensive medical problems. Parents that deliberately incurred costs for an avoidable genetic ill or disability got nae benefits, nae maternity leave, nae skill place for the bairn, naething. Ingen they managed to beat the odds and the bairn was a' richt. The protest banners when the eugenics law first came in had said, It's not about genetics, it's about love. She said it out loud for Bill's benefit, but I thought muckle conviction. It's not about genetics, it's about love. Love, he said, is a trick your hormones play on you to get you into commitments you'd run a mile from if you were in your right mind. Hey, hold on, she protested. I'm sorry, he said, present company and their immediate offspring accepted. Anyway, she said, for this group of people, for the people that we actually know and love, forewarned is forearmed. They keep good track of their genealogies, she minded Bill. They just have to be very careful. Any man with modern genes has to limit himself to one child. Damn it, we have a contraceptive. I suppose, he conceded, it's not exactly their imagined idyll, is it? After a while, he said, in the end, though, it'll get them. They don't have the means of communication to spread the message around. Oh, what the hell, she said, wearied. In the end, everybody we know will be long dead. They'll disappear, he persisted, like blondes are disappearing in Europa. She looked at him, shocked, and he stared back defiantly. I can see anything I like, he told her. We're not in the RW now. Meaning if we were and I was still a welfare officer, I'd have you sent on a re-education course. Well, wouldn't you? I've never done anybody any harm, Bill. Only because you've got such easy jobs. Nil Yule Goon, for Christ's sake. Rock-solid psychological profiles, less than 50 people. All you had to do was arrange a cultural programme and find my way home across thousands of miles of hostile territory. Hostile territory? You have no notion. Let me tell you, Dr. Varshini, you think women are equal, don't you? But where did you do your rational service? They sent me to Africa. Africa! There were three women, three, and a squad of 100, and we protected them and kept them out of the firing line. Not because anybody asked us to, but because that's what men do. We protect women. She looked at him. He was yelling at her, but it wasn't her. You couldn't have done anything, she said again. We didn't know. He fell quiet and looked away to the north. The sides of the kloof raised like a wall a couple of miles away. No cigarette, she thought. Hide the alcohol. She tane his horn and pat it atween her ain until he'd comped doon a bit. Life's a bitch, he said. He gied a sough. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Derry Akin bade in by for days. It was only when she rejoined the others, ye dinner time, that Bill realised Sultram was nowhere. Where's Sultram? He speared. He's gied back to his ain folk, sighed Derry Akin. Quit, exclaimed Bill. He's gied off and left thee with a small bairn. It's all right, said Derry Akin. I said he realised sooner. He couldn't adapt to her wild life. He is chuch, but just physically. Dinna fash yourself about him, he'll be grand. Derry Akin gied back in by after she'd eaten and slept. Shen waited till she was walking and ta'en her some tea. She didn't seem to mind the intrusion, so he accepted her invitation to sit down. They spoke about plans for the future. Then he said, I wanted to speak to thee about something, about gan back, gin we did think of following you. She looked up. Persuade her, she urged. He hesitated. It's no that I hae ony doots about Beatrice being able for to cope, he said, but I just wondered what thou thought. Does thou think she would be happy? But why no, said Derry Akin. She doesn't ask for muckle, and she takes life as it comes. Then she added, Bill is different, though. I would have been concerned about him. Would do? What for? I dinna ken, Derry Akin struggled to express herself. It's as if he seems to think he can make bargains. Thou kens if he doesna get what he wants, he thinks he should be entitled to some other thing instead. He doesn't understand the old bitch. And what about me, wise Derry Akin? What about thee? Whae's chooker nor thee, Shen? Rosit blindit, Shen. Thou hast some steel in thee, whatever Fallad said. He gied a wee cuff. Nae other buddy would din it neither, Derry Akin telt him. Nae normal buddy could have killed twae laddies in cold blood. Only somebody like Fallad who canna hear his female ancestors. Mind thou, she continued, leading them to went to anywhere hiding places. We were all mad at thee about that, especially after that fearful trek we maist over gear brunt in the bleeze, which abody I blames thee for, the mictus weel ken. Shen shrugged. Nae other buddies mentioned it, he said, the day. But Derry, he gaed on, gin somebody has telt thee me fortune, thou hast to keep it to thysel. Saltram kent about it, she telt him. He'd heard about the Rosset plantations, but he's away. She grat than. Shen sat on the edge of her bed and held her again his shoulder, crying her brave Derry Aiken, strang Derry Aiken, and telling her what a bonny braw lad Saltram had gien her. Would she like him for to bring her laddie till her? She wiped her een on his collar and said aye. He gied her a squeeze and gaed to Finn the bairn. Raggle had said naething, he assured his cell. He could lippen to Raggle. It wasna lang after that Shen, Beatrice, Bill, Raggle and Rongier was making their final preparations for to set off. Beatrice noticed that as weel's his rifle, Raggle had made 3 steel-tipped spears. She picked ye up. Morning sunshine, she minded him. He gied her a predatory look. Dug woman, he replied. She readn't. She hadna meant it that way. And when thou rins out of steel, she speared, feeling a pint worth them, can thou mak them out of stain? Course, he said, I'll learn thee if thou likes. She shook her head. I'm going back to the RW, Raggle, I really am. We'll see, he said. They ought ain't that view, she found. Well, it made it easier to say farewell. Nobody chose to believe that she was just gone to fetch her grandfather, and she would see sense and come home to the world as it was meant to be. That was the way her heart pooed her, she had to admit to herself, but it wouldn't be richt to deprive Wren of the chance to inherit 4,000 year of civilization. End of chapter 10.